Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Geraldo Rivera.
I'm Emily Campagno.
And I'm Eric Schahn. This is a Fox News Rundown.
Friday, December 30th, 2022. I'm Dave Anthony. The worst may be behind Southwest Airlines after a nightmare of a week, but it's facing a lot of scrutiny from the White House to Congress.
They've been given billions of dollars from the federal government, and that's the problem with this is we've rewarded bad behavior. There was nothing to ensure that their systems would work when there's a disaster.
I'm Chris Foster. Will Smith has a new movie out where he plays an escaped slave. It'd be hard for some viewers to get past seeing the guy who slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars.
I mean, it was clearly, I think, Will Smith was wrong, but to say that he was like this maniac is a little bit much.
And I'm Joe Concha. I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
Southwest Airlines hopes today will be much better.
We're doing everything we can to return to a normal operation. And please also hear that I'm truly sorry.
Southwest CEO Bob Jordan blames that massive pre-Christmas storm.
Cities where large numbers of scheduled flights simultaneously froze as record bitter cold brought challenges for all airlines.
But the last few days, Southwest was the only airline with mass cancellations. About 60% of all flights grounded, stranding thousands of passengers for days.
It's devastating, and it's unconscionable that our customers are left with this bad taste of Southwest.
Captain Casey Murray is the head of the Southwest Pilots Association.
We have tried to get them to change processes, but it's a combination of processes, outdated technology, and infrastructure.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says Southwest will be held accountable.
Well, so far, Pete Buttigieg has been very vague on what that actually means.
Republican Congresswoman Nancy Mace from South Carolina has been serving on the House Transportation Committee.
For me, when I look at holding them accountable, the first step is to have an audit or a full accounting of the $7 billion that Southwest received as a bailout from American taxpayers. Because I'm looking at this disaster that keeps happening day after day, with Southwest being the outlier as compared to other airlines.
Now, you're referencing money that they got during the COVID times, right? When Congress put all that, you know, trillions of dollars to work.
$7 billion in coronavirus aid.
Right. And that was just for Southwest because all the airlines got money. Is that correct?
Correct.
And specifically, the issue seems to be for Southwest, and I know that the pilots union has talked about this and the flight attendants union, that the technology, the system that Southwest has in place is old. That's what the claim is. And it kind of broke down and couldn't handle what went on with all the cancellations. Is that a focus for you?
It should be a focus for us. And there's a responsibility. I'm a free market fiscal conservative, so there's going to be a balance. The market's going to correct some of this because there are going to be many people that will never fly Southwest again. And their stock has gone down this week. Employees are coming forward with what's going on. But, you know, we need to know, you know, what their investments have been in the technology, because they've been given billions of dollars from the federal government. And that's the problem with this is we rewarded bad behavior. There was nothing to ensure that their systems would work when there's a disaster. And I have heard and read media reports like everybody else about the systematic failure of their technology behind the scenes. And I can tell you this, in my case, my kids were stranded last weekend on Christmas Eve in Baltimore. Today, 6 days later, we still don't know where their luggage is. But part of the issue for our family when my kids were traveling was they weren't sure, you know, when or where the crew was going to show up. That was one of the issues that they witnessed when they were at the airport.
a lot of the major airlines, Delta, United, they have the hub and spoke. They have certain cities that they operate from, and a lot of their service goes through there. Southwest has what it says more community focused. They don't have that same hub system. Therefore, they seem to have been hit harder by the winter storm hitting all these different parts of the country. Is that plausible to you?
It is definitely certainly part of the issue. And if you look at their business model, 23 of the 25 airports they operate out of had been impacted by the storm. Buffalo in particular, Denver was another area. I know someone I spoke to yesterday who was stuck in Denver for 5 days. Luckily, she had family in the area and was able to stay with family. But when she got back home, she totally missed Christmas with her son out west, and today doesn't know where any of her luggage is either. But that is a particular issue. I mean, I have sympathy from that standpoint, but today, when most every other airline is up and operational, again, you know, 95, 98% of the cancellations this week have been solely from Southwest Airlines. So at some point, you know, you have to be looking at other factors like their technology, like their software, like maybe there are staff shortages, et cetera. Those need to be looked at as well.
There was a headline in the Wall Street Journal you might have seen that the mess with Southwest has lawmakers angling to rule the skies. You had mentioned that you're a free market conservative. How far do you think Congress should go?
Well, unfortunately, because they received $7 billion from the federal government, that's where I believe the federal government should come in and at least have an audit or some accounting to understand how is it utilized or potentially wasted. Why wasn't their technology? Why are they so far behind in their technology? Why did this happen? Why is it continuing to happen? But we don't want to have the federal government overregulate the industry, because we all know that when the federal government intervenes and overregulates the industry, any industry, prices tend to go up, bureaucracy tends to take over, and it doesn't always have the intended effect that a natural market could correct.
You talked about your kids getting home and being in the Baltimore issue. How did they get home faster than other people stranded for days?
Well, luckily for them, I had an extra car in D.C., and Baltimore is not that far. They were able to get a hotel. They had a family traveling with them, get a hotel, and they were able to go to my office at 7 a.m. Christmas morning, get the keys to the car from the Capitol Police, and get on the road home. And I was able to see them late Christmas night, which I was very grateful for, that we're safely able to get home. But not everybody was quite as lucky.
When the next Congress convenes next Tuesday, the first order of business is electing a new speaker. Current Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy wants the job, but a handful of conservatives say they refuse to support him, so McCarthy may not have enough votes to get it.
They have no other candidate but simply to do the work. The only other people who are cheering them on are the Democrats, AOC and others.
So Congresswoman Mace doesn't know what will happen next week.
The problem with this right now, this impasse that we're at right now, is that the House Republicans, who are now in the majority because of Kevin McCarthy's leadership, because he invested in races in independent districts like mine. I represent a very purple district. I won by 1 point 2 years ago. Not easy. And Leader McCarthy understands what it takes to get in the majority. But because we're having this speakership battle that's now bubbled out into the public, it really has set the Republican majority agenda behind by at least 30 days, because we won't know, for example, our committee assignments or committee leadership posts or those sorts of things until at least the end of January because of what's going on now. We can't organize. We can't set forth with our agenda, and our agenda is a high priority should be for everybody in this country.
You clearly support Kevin McCarthy. There are other Republicans, many other Republicans who do, including some who are okay. Only Kevin. They say they will only consider Kevin McCarthy. And then the other group that doesn't want Kevin McCarthy, they have their own candidates. So is there the possibility that they're both going to have to cave, and then Kevin McCarthy is going to have to step aside, and there's going to be some sort of compromise candidate? Is that possible?
I don't see that in the cards today. I mean, anything could happen on the floor. For those that say that there is an alternative, no one has heard who the alternative is or who is on the list of potential alternatives. Right now, it seems like it's a game of chicken, really. And it is time for us to come together. The vast majority of members of our conference support him. You're never going to get 100% on anything or any issue and move our fiscally conservative agenda forward. I mean, I keep looking at stories about the immigration crisis at the southern border, mayors, Democrat and Republican alike, who are really, really, you know, angry and frustrated by what the administration is doing. We got to tackle that. We got to look at how we can fix the supply chain, work on improving the supply chain so we can manage inflation. We got to Kevin McCarthy has talked about this a lot lately, our anger over the omnibus and the $1.7 trillion in spending, largely irresponsible. These are things that our conference can work on together just as soon as we elect a speaker. And that's what we got to do on the third and do it quickly.
But it might not be on the third, right? Isn't it could keep going for days.
That's potentially that could be the outcome. And that hadn't happened in like 100 years. So I hope it doesn't happen in the 118th Congress. I'm still cautiously optimistic that we'll get there, whether it's the first or third ballot. I don't think it'll drag out that long. I hope that people will see what our needs really are right now. And I don't agree with Leader McCarthy on everything, just like I don't agree with the Freedom Caucus on everything or centrists on everything. There's got to be a place where we can come together, and it needs to be on January 3rd.
A Republican who is supposed to join Congresswoman Mace in the House next week is under scrutiny. That is a protest in George Santos's New York district. The congressman-elect faces state and federal investigations into lies Santos admits he told about his past.
I think we can all look at ourselves in the mirror and admit that once in our life we made a mistake. I'm having to admit this in national television for the whole country to see.
And Santos said on Fox he's sorry about false information about his education, his work history, even his religion. Santos had said he identified as a Jew.
In the campaign, I'd say, guys, I'm Jew-ish. Remember, I was raised Catholic.
But Santos vows to take office.
It's very disappointing to learn about the fabrications on another member's resume, because that's not what voters knew and understood and learned about the candidate while they were casting their ballot and their vote. You know, I take a strong issue with anyone, Republican or Democrat, and I've spoken about this quite frequently, who's going to, for example, lie about family and descendants of the Holocaust. I mean, that's just one of the worst things you could ever say. And it's a huge, huge slap in the face to the Jewish community whose family really did flee the Holocaust. I mean, that's like the number one thing you should never, ever impersonate within your family. And I represent a very strong Jewish community here in the Charleston and Beaufort area in South Carolina. And I always want to make sure that, you know, with the rise of anti-Semitism, that we are always protecting those in our communities who are most vulnerable. And I find it abhorrent, quite frankly. And it is going to be an issue for him, certainly. I mean, I don't know how you trust someone that fabricated their entire resume. I don't know how you do that.
Do you think Republicans would be okay if he didn't show up and there was a change somehow, a special election, something?
Well, the voters decided who they're going to elect and who's going to represent them. It's just very unfortunate that it was done under circumstances that were not at all real or true. And it's up to the state of New York to, you know, determine the election process for representatives in New York. It's not up to Congress. But at this time, you know, the voters of New York's congressional district, the third district, elected him to represent them.
Congresswoman Nancy Mace, Republican from South Carolina, we thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
This is Joe Concha with your Fox News commentary. Coming up.
A lot of us won't remember what movie won the Oscar for Best Picture this year. It was Coda. This year's Oscar ceremony, though, will be remembered for the slap that happened live during the broadcast on ABC. Will Smith not taking kindly to a joke Chris Rock made about his wife Jada Pinkett, Smith going up on stage and slapping him in the face. Later came apologies from both men for the joke and the slap, Smith's resignation from the Motion Picture Academy, and a 10-year ban on attending the awards. A few days after the slap, on March 30th, 2022, we brought in three comedians to talk about it. Fox Across America radio host Jimmy Failla, Fox Nation host Tyrus, and stand-up comic Ellie Breen. It's one of those stories where seemingly everyone has an opinion or a take on what it all means. Will Smith slapping Chris Rock for making a joke about his wife's short hair during the Oscars ceremony televised live on ABC and around the world Sunday night.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
Oh, wow. Will Smith just smacked the out of me.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
I'm going to, okay?
Well, Smith has now publicly apologized to Rock, and Jada Pinkett Smith, without mentioning the slap, also on Instagram, writes, "This is the season for healing." Well, not ready to let it go just yet. Three professional comedians we brought in to talk about it. Jimmy Failla, host of Fox Across America on the radio, Fox Nation host Tyrus, and Ellie Breen. She's a stand-up comic based in New York.
I think the one thing that's weird about it is we all saw it happen and nobody reacted. Like, the fact that no security went up to him just because he's a famous person. And then afterwards, he got to do a speech, and they handed him a weapon, pretty much. They were basically, hey, here you go. If you want to beat the crap out of more people, use this. I mean, it was clearly, I think, Will Smith was wrong. But to say that he was like this maniac is a little bit much. I mean, I guess that's the reason there was no security, is they realized it was going to be contained.
Well, and that's another facet of this, is it's fame and privilege and all that. If anybody in the fourth row back isn't going to get to run on stage and not get kicked out of the building. Will Smith got to do it because he's Will Smith.
Yeah.
It actually says that on the seats. It's like you're in the kicked out section. If you...
Yeah, you guys feel free to assault other...
You're in the assault rows.
Yeah.
Is it an antiquated notion, the idea of defending your wife like that? Is it... Should Jada be... Jada can take care of herself. Oh, why is Will going to go up there and smack? That's another one of the... things floating around.
That's
here.
Super antiquated, and she wasn't, her feelings got hurt. That's all that happened. It wasn't anything that was really that malicious. She was compared to another hot, sexy, rich woman. It's crazy.
It's different because people are kind of conflating this with like defending your wife's honor on the street. Like someone comes up, throws a drink on your wife or calls her a whore or something crazy. Yeah, this is actually at a comedy show. Ty, I wanted to ask you this. Do you think on some level, because it's more of a guy thing, knowing that his wife is like pretty open about the fact that she's sleeping with everyone in Hollywood but him, do you think in that moment he's defending his own honor and not hers? Because it's one more slight for him to endure.
He was smacking her. I mean, that's angry. He laughed at the joke.
Yes, thank you.
So bothers to watch it. The reason I was watching is I enjoy white people talking about two brothers hitting each other and how comfortable you are with it. Because if Chris Rock would have been Robin Williams, let's say, and he smacked him, this would be a very different conversation. Well, this wouldn't even be on a comedy show.
Well,
there would be heads of everybody that... It'd be every serious news. How can this go along? This needs to be arrested. Well, why was he arrested?
No way. I totally disagree.
But let me just jump in.
Not
comics, no, hold on a second, because Robin Williams has gotten hit for stealing jokes back in the day. He
got popped.
They're all rich and privileged. The race has nothing to do with this.
Okay, you guys would have been completely talking about this different if he would hit somebody outside the box.
What do you mean, like outside of the show?
You can have physical combat with your own box, and everyone thinks it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if he would have been anything else, if Chris would have been gay,
if it was across
would have been
lines.
Anything out the box, society would have been, the woke would have lost their mind. There would have been protest outside the academy.
Right. No, give him that. Like if he would have hit, if Amy told the joke, Amy told the joke, would he have smacked Amy?
If it was male on female, that would have been a problem. People would have gotten arrested immediately. Well, if it was black and white, if it was another white, I mean, Chris Rock is as famous as any famous person up there was not going to get...
I think
it's 100%. That's all that it has to do.
No, I think, but what he's saying is that are you saying that we've kind of normalized black on black?
The fact that it's even going either way,
because
it was a safe hit. It was a straight brother on a straight brother. There's no group that can benefit from it. Because we don't protest when we get hit. We usually say, I'll holler at you outside. Chris was phenomenal in the fact he knew it was coming.
Yeah.
That's why he kept his hands behind his back, because he had more to lose than Will did. Mm-hmm. He has to finish the show.
But don't you think he thought that it was going to be a joke slap?
No.
He thought that it was real. He knew.
You think he knew? Yeah.
Some guys have nervous laughs, and then Chris Rock has a nervous laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew when he got up, it wasn't like Will got up smiling.
Yeah.
He watched, the camera goes off them. Chris tries to settle it down already. He goes, that was nice.
Yeah, yeah.
There was an exchange going on between Will and his wife.
Yeah, yeah.
When the camera went back to Chris.
Right. Yeah.
Because he laughed, she made the face, he looked at her and said, you're not going to do anything about this? And this is when the dysfunctional relationship that everyone has been with at one time or another, you go out to a bar, you're at a nice dinner, and the waiter does something wrong, and you don't think it's that big of a deal, and then she looks at you and says, you're not going to do anything about it?
Are you going to slap the waiter?
And then, yeah, no, but that's what happens at a bar. Some guy hits on her.
Yeah.
You're just going to let that go?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the type of man you are?
Uh-huh.
He doesn't want, and then he goes, hits the guy.
So,
it's the same, and that's what that was.
So, wait, you think Jada supported it? You think she wanted it?
No, she kissed him afterwards.
I'm team
Tyrus. Oh, wow, I didn't see that.
You didn't see that? She kissed him afterwards, but you missed and that's what I talked about on the show. This has to do with their dysfunctional relationship, and this is what men, unfortunately, do to try to fix things instead of going, it was funny, get over yourself, this is my night. No, it is now her night.
Yeah.
It's ruined. And he, because he, and he threw away everything that he stood for. Understand, in growing up, he was the one who was talked shit about all the time because he wouldn't cuss in his raps.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He did it the right way. He was about as vanilla ice cream as a brother can be in entertainment and still be successful.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, he wasn't doing kids shows, but he was the guy that were like, that's who I want my son to be.
Well, looking back, so this guy spent 30 plus years cultivating this image, one of the biggest stars in the world, like you said, almost universally beloved, and then poof.
Nobody has ever been a backup singer for N.W.A.
Yep.
threw it all away.
Well, nobody has ever going to watch The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Uh-huh.
Nobody's ever going to watch anything he did in the past or in the future in the same way.
They'll just watch the new one differently. Okay. Like, it's more like the new one, which is terrible, by the way.
I think we have a really short memory, and we'll actually move on in some capacity.
Is this going to be a problem at comedy clubs? I know that there are a few comics have said, oh, no, I can't do crowd work anymore because somebody's going to be emboldened by Will Smith to jump up on stage.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the green light. He green-lighted it.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Mm.
You know.
I mean, only for crazy people. I don't think there's going to be a huge swarm of people looking to create violence. But anyone who is already
it's the scenario he just described, though, what Tyrus described earlier. If a guy tells a joke about a girl and they're in a toxic relationship.
They now have an out. Not to mention, you're going to get a lot of publicity. So before it was like, instead of hanging off a cliff to take a selfie on Instagram, now it's smack a comic. And it'll be how, you know, he did this and that, especially, you know, for conservative comics. You're going to see a lot of justifiable attempts to just, you know, hopefully.
And one side will rally behind it. There really will be woke people who are like, no, that was.
Well, the nice thing, though, for conservative comics is everybody who supports us is armed at all times. So we'll be all right.
You're going to see like hashtag slap the hate.
Things
like that. Justify them. It always is.
What's more likely, Will Smith and Chris Rock doing a Super Bowl commercial next year or presenting at the Oscars next year?
Both. They're both
going to happen.
I think if, and of course, Chris was the bigger man.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't press charges.
Yeah, he didn't even talk. He hasn't really talked about it.
Although, you know, Judge Jeanine was saying he didn't have to because there was enough witnesses. But I think Will's going to go away for a while.
Yeah.
And he should. Rightfully should. No, not just.
You think he'll be forced to, or you think he'll choose to?
I mean, he makes his own movies anyways.
Yeah.
So he's his own producer. So it's not like he's waiting for a call from Miramax.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he produces his own stuff. But hopefully, if there's – I mean, he's an intelligent man. Hopefully, he realizes that he needs some help.
Same question that we asked about Will Smith. Is there an asterisk on Chris Rock's work now? Is he going to be, at least on some level, in the back of people's mind, the guy that gets smacked the Oscars?
Nah.
So,
who have never been in a fight before or live behind a little keyboard, they'll talk about what they would have done.
Yeah.
But what he chose to, he put the Academy and his job over his personal safety.
He kept his hands behind his back
for a reason.
Yeah.
And he even caught himself because he was about
exchange.
He was about to rip him when he talked about the table.
Yeah.
He started to say, I could say, and he caught himself.
He did.
And he
there was
did
a second
a
joke
job.
Coming.
There was a second one, and this one was not going to be kind.
No.
Because being referred to as a jacked woman with bald head kicking ass in the men's military at the time is not an insult.
That was also a Bed-Stuy broken move of Rock, not to even touch his face. Didn't rub it.
No.
Didn't take a step back.
No. He was doing that. You could tell he was hurt, but he was not doing anything. In wrestling, it's called he didn't sell it.
And what does that say about Will Smith's ability to portray Muhammad Ali? That he couldn't even, you know, hurt a 130-pound comedian.
The Oscar slap comes less than a year after Chris Rock said, cancel culture is making comedy boring, leading to unfunny comedians and unfunny award shows, calling it bizarre, especially in America. Back to Jimmy Failla.
Chris Rock, his last special was written by Michelle Wolf. Like, he does hang out with a little more of a, these days, like the enlightened comedic side of town, and wants to be on the right side of that. And I think is mindful of the fact that, you know, people are offended by the alopecia joke. Not that it was an alopecia joke because he didn't know, but he doesn't want to be in his social circle seen as punching down.
Right.
And this is the what's wrong with comedy nowadays. People who make the rules for comedy don't do comedy. Nobody in a comedy club reads the room. We lead the room. We're the only ones with a microphone. We set the terms of the negotiation. We don't read the room. And nobody worries about punching down. That's something people tacked on in the blogosphere to make rules for comedians that, like, well, this will be how we grade them and hold them to our standard. But if you're a real comic, you just throw the fastball. And that's what Chris Rock did in that moment. Will Smith overreacted. I mean, and this is the byproduct of two things. What Tyra said, which is a toxic relationship, but also we've had 5 years of people treating jokes as hate crimes. This is why you have to defund the joke police, because there's a lot of people out there who cannot distinguish between someone making fun of you and literally attacking you.
Well, thank you for coming on. I feel like we didn't have too much time left to get the hot takes out there before they're all hot tooken. Ellie Breen, Jimmy Failla, Fox Across America, weekdays on the radio, Tyrus on Fox Nation, podcast Tyrus and Tim. Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
Thanks.
And now, some good news with Tanya J. Powers.
Callie Blue spent her Christmas morning this year waiting tables at Gus's Diner in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, just outside Madison. She was filling coffee mugs and taking orders from customers when she struck up a conversation with one of them around 6 a.m. When he was finished, he left her a tip, a $1,000 tip. The customer was Michael Johnson, president and CEO of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Dane County. He told the Wisconsin State Journal he was looking for people in need as part of the club's Pay It Forward campaign. Two donors had given about $5,000 for tip money. So he scoured the internet to find restaurants that opened at 6 a.m. on Christmas and found Gus's. He had also gotten an email about Callie's customer service. Johnson told the newspaper that he'd already given almost a dozen servers large tips by the time he got to Callie, but the biggest one went to her because it was Christmas morning and she was the last one. Callie called the whole thing amazing and said she plans to put the money to good use, helping to feed her four horses. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com.
It's time for your Fox News commentary.
Joe Concha.
What's on your mind?
Just when you thought the polarization and partisanship permeating the media industry couldn't possibly get any worse, it did so in 2022. You know what the sad part is? The trend in media won't reverse itself anytime soon. How bad are things going these days in the industry? An October New York Times poll shows that 60% of voters, 6 in 10, view the media as a threat to democracy. With that backdrop, let's look at the top news story of 2022, at least from this guy's point of view, the crisis that is a catastrophe at the U.S. southern border. The numbers are staggering. More than 5 million migrants having crossed into the U.S. in the first 2 years of this administration alone. To put that in perspective, 27 U.S. states don't even have a total population of 5 million people. Meanwhile, the $1.7 trillion omnibus package passed by the Senate contains nothing in terms of border security through walls or fences. This despite that more than 850 migrants have died trying to cross the U.S. border in the past year. That's a record. Yet we don't see AOC in any photo ops anywhere going on this time around. Meanwhile, more than 100,000 Americans are dying of overdoses fueled by fentanyl. Many of it comes across the U.S. southern border through Mexico after being produced in China. Meanwhile, U.S. Customs and Border Protection reported 98 Border Patrol encounters with non-U.S. citizens on the terror watch list in the fiscal year of 2022. But most of the national media, and here's looking at you, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Washington Post, New York Times, NPR, PBS, Most of you have simply ignored these stories. President Biden also seems to have no interest, as seen in his refusal to visit the border to assess the situation, as is his vice president, an absentee landlord, on the one job she was given when she began her work or non-work in this administration. The crisis that is a catastrophe at the U.S. southern border. That is your number one media story of the year, even if most of the media just doesn't think so. I'm Joe Concha.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Did you hear the news? Now you can. With instant updates from Fox News for Amazon Alexa. Just say,
Alexa, play news from Fox.
In Fox News.
It's the latest when you need it on demand from Fox News and Amazon Alexa. Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.